Which you've already heard some of, is Philippians 4, 4 through 13. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is pleasing, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence and if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. As for the things that you have learned and received and heard and noticed in me, do them, and the God of peace will be with you. I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at last you have revived your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned for me, but had no opportunity to show it. Not that I am referring to being in need, for I have learned to be content with whatever I have. I know what it is to have little, and I know what it is to have plenty. In any and all circumstances, I have learned the secret of being well fed and of going hungry, of having plenty and of being in need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. This is the word of God for the people of God. And we all said, thanks be to God.
Amen. Thanks, Jake. Well, I want to tell you about a time several years ago, I left ministry, and some of you have heard this experience where I left ministry for a while, and I thought I was receiving a job that was innovative and freeing and exciting. I'm sure you've been there. Now, to my credit, that's how it was posted on the job description. It was it was an atmosphere that was fast-paced, and it was innovative and creative, and so I worked my best to go through the interview process, and I waited about 2 months to hear that I was hired. That should have been a clue. Well, everything that I had seen and heard about this organization was that it was fast-paced. And employees had the flexibility to be innovative and creative in that environment. And so I was so excited. You know, on my first day, I drove up to that imposing building and received my employee badge. And after a whole day of HR training, I was shown to my cubicle. It wasn't long before I started to get into work, and I was told not all the things that you could do, but things don't do this, and make sure it's always this way, and we never do it that way. I don't know if this sounds like any of your workplaces. There's certain things that we do here, and we do not deviate from it. Don't cross it. Folks on my level, they were expected to check the boxes, and there were a lot of them, and you weren't to deviate unless you expected an email to be sent to your direct supervisor. I felt stifled. I sort of felt misled that I thought I was going to be in the most amazing career, and I felt like maybe the employer just really felt short of my expectations. But I am so thankful that I'm here where I need to be. I love being here at Broadway United Methodist Church, and working for Harbor Hospice as one of their field chaplains. I haven't always felt this fulfilled, and I think a lot of us can explain there were times in our lives and different jobs we just felt like we were checking the boxes, we were punching the numbers, we were sending the emails, we were going through the motions, and it was stifling. Well, I just wonder if maybe some of us feel this way or could describe this experience at different times in our lives. We're doing what we're supposed to be doing. We're meeting the expectations. We're going through the motions. But I think sometimes we wonder, is this all it is? Is this what I spend my whole week doing just for this? We were created, though, to do more than go through the motions. And I think the Bible is very clear that it uses the word abundance. God calls us to live an abundant life and to thrive. God just doesn't want us just to get by. God wants us to thrive. And I think if there was anybody who knew this more than anybody, it was Paul when he wrote this scripture that we just read from the book of Philippians. You see, when we begin to realize what was going on in Paul's life, we're knowing he didn't just say, I can do all things in Christ, just as a cute message, just stop your worrying. Paul knew what it was like to worry and be in fear, because you know where he wrote this scripture from? He wrote it from a prison, a Roman prison cell. He did not know what the future held. He knew that his freedom had been taken away. He knew that his life was in, and many others of Christians at the time were in the hands of the Roman authorities. And yet it was remarkable that in this letter, Paul doesn't write about his circumstances. He doesn't complain about the situation. He doesn't ask the other Philippians to feel sorry for him. He doesn't focus on step by step everything that had gone wrong. Instead, he points them time and again in this short book of Philippians, in this letter that he wrote to the church of Philippi. He encouraged them time and time again to focus on Christ. Paul had learned something in his life that changed the way he saw everything. You see, a lot of us can talk about the before life and the afterlife and different times of our life, and Paul had one of those moments too. Paul was extremely religious. He was part of the Sanhedrin, which was an elite religious group that really had control in Rome. The Roman government and the religious elite, they were fundamentalist and they were united. And it caused a lot of problems in Paul's day, because he spent his life actually persecuting Christians. Christians were a new sect. They were seen as very liberal because they weren't following the old ways that were centuries old from the Jewish religion, offering the sacrifices, wearing the same things, shunning people who they felt should have been shunned because of illness or misbehavior. And so Paul was extremely dedicated to his Jewish faith, and even was on his way to persecute somebody when you know how the story goes. There was a blinding light, and he was blinded, and he was blinded for 3 days. And he followed the rules to go to the religious, to the priest in town, and his eyes were touched and he was healed, and he changed his ways. And he said, if this happened to me, then I'm going to become a follower of Christ. And he dedicated his life to Christ so much so that he ended up in a Roman prison for his misbehavior. That's where he writes this letter. He's writing this letter to a little church that he set up in Philippi, probably not much bigger than our own, who were struggling to be good Christians and serve their community, and they were standing out in a bad way. They were too welcoming. They were too friendly. They were accepting just about anybody. It was a scandal. And it really ended up, again, giving him a prison sentence, and other people, it was worse. And then he writes throughout the book of Philippians. This is why the words, I think, are so powerful. He says, rejoice in the Lord always. He says, the Lord is near. And he talks about the peace of God that passes understanding that can be in our hearts and minds in Jesus. You see, Paul's strength was not found in power. Paul's strength was not found in his circumstances or his wealth. His strength was not found in even having control over his situation. To Paul, his strength was in Christ, and he was proud of it. And that's where he says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. If there's one scripture that Christians can remember, it's this one. We teach it for time after time for the kids in VBS, and it's something we can remember, and it gives us strength to know that God is with us. But my concern is when we hear this scripture, I don't think Paul was telling us just to let our worries go away. He definitely had worries in that Roman prison cell. He had a lot of concerns on his mind. I really think Paul was concerned about his church and how they would succeed during his imprisonment. I think he was broadly concerned about the mission of Christ in the world and how it would succeed. If he was being thrown in prison, there would be more. So I very much think that Paul had a lot of concerns and worries on his mind. So when he said, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength, I don't think he was saying, you can just do anything. We're not superhuman. If he was superhuman, he wouldn't have been in that Roman jail cell. But I wonder if maybe Paul was saying, you know, look, whatever is going on in your life, whatever circumstances you are facing, you can do them in Christ. It is possible to Paul that whatever situation you find yourself in, good or bad, that you can do it for the sake and with a relationship with Jesus Christ. You see, again, I don't think Paul was saying, don't worry, set your worries away, don't worry about any single thing ever again. But I think Paul was really saying that whatever worries you do have, whatever situation you find yourself in, good or bad, whatever moment that you may be experiencing right now, you can see the presence of Christ and it can give you strength. You see, Paul gives us a picture here of what Christ looks like. When there is conflict, there is unity in Christ. When there's anxiety, we can bring it to God in prayer. When your mind wants to focus on anger or fear or negativity, Paul wants us to think about the fruits of the Spirit. What is honorable and true and good and commendable and lovely? Those are Paul's words. So again, I don't think Paul is telling us just to forget the troubles of life. He knew more than all of us, I think, what it was like to be in trouble, to have some anxiousness, to be worried about some things. But Paul reminds us that Jesus changes the way that we can face them. That in our relationship with Christ, in an ongoing spiritual disciplines through prayer and mission and service, dedication to our community, we begin to find that the things that in our life that grip no longer grip us so. I guess I'll say it that way. And so my prayer is that we can have our strength in Christ and know our worries are not going to be taken away. We still have things we're worried about, people that we love, tragedies that happen in the midst of our community. It is hard to be the church in this world today. It is just as hard, I believe, as it has ever been if we're doing it the right way. But when Christ is our mission, when Christ is our goal, it really does change, gives us a new frame by which we encounter our tragedies. It gives us a new mindset and a new strength to get through the things that we have to get through. Because let's face it, a lot of times we experience the presence of Christ not when things are amazing and wonderful, right? But when it's dark. That's when we can see the light of Christ. That's when we don't know how we're going to get through and we have other people reaching out to us. That's the presence of Christ among us. That's the strength, I believe, that Paul was talking about. And so that's why I believe year after year, week after week, you know, for VBS, we do this sort of thing. It's tiring for our workers. It takes more dedication for parents to get your kids here every single day, drop them off and pick them up. But because many of us have had this same experience, we had people who dedicated their lives to making sure that we had the hope of Christ. It's changed us, right? It has changed the way that we encounter our hardships and how we focus on what matters in life and what doesn't matter. Because someone made sure long ago that we went to VBS or Sunday school and really instilled in us that there is something greater in this world than what we see at face value. And I think there is a lot of talk about what makes us powerful and strong in this world today. And I think the underlying message, right? You all know it. It's power, it's wealth, it's the things that you have. These are a lot of things that we're told either through advertisements or through media or through other people nonverbally that those things are what makes us strong, right? But we have a new message, and Paul believed in it. And we believe in it too here at Broadway United Methodist Church that our strength is in Christ. Our strength, we are a strong church and we are strong Christians when we are welcoming in a radical way. When other people receive and experience the love of Jesus Christ in a powerful way, that's strength. We're strong when we pull together just bit by bit and we're able to feed our community and do story time on Broadway. I'm proud of that. And so that's what we offer, and I just would encourage you just to remain dedicated to the presence of Christ and know that in Christ we have strength. But that strength isn't about just not throwing our worries away. That strength is about in the midst of our worries, in the midst of our struggle, we have a God who is with us and is guiding us and leading us and transforming our lives like Paul's life was transformed and allowing us through our prayers, presence, gifts, service, and witness to transform others in our community and our world. Let's pray. Loving God, we thank you that we have our strength in you, not in our possessions, not in our wealth, not in power, but in you. Lord, help us to seek a transformed heart in you. And we also pray that you will help us through our service in our community to transform other hearts so that others may know about you and your love and your peace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.